Napoleon's boots and Dante's body. I was fascinated by how many times Dante got dug up and moved around and lost. I had gone to Ravenna to look at the amazing mosaics there, and went to his tomb, and his tomb, and there's another poem in the book about this, the tomb is surrounded by people sleeping, homeless people, sleeping out underneath the arches, and most of them from Africa, African men. And I realized that it was, you know, Ravenna is right on the Adriatic, and so the tankers were coming into the Adriatic Sea, where people were coming in on the other side of Italy and taking a train over from Genoa and Milano. But it was really quite something. So, you know, really seeing that sight and, you know, this direction. I don't know what you know about Dante, but you know, he was exiled from Florence, obviously, and then Florence wanted him back later after he died. And so there was a big scuffle with the Franciscans and Ravenna. They didn't want to let him go, so they buried him and forgot where they put him. So he was lost for 50 years. Anyway, so everything I'm saying is true in the poem. It's based on historical fact, but of course, in my usual way, I'm one for exaggeration. So Napoleon's boots and Dante's body. Dante slept for a long time in the 19th century, thanks to Napoleon. A little man in tall boots with a genius like a corporation's genius for acquiring other corporations. Little Napoleon marched into Italy. Tiny Napoleon consumed the church as if it were the antipasti. And there's nothing like antiquity to make you hungry for the treasures of a tomb. Ah, what a tomb was Italy. Etruscan, Roman, Aryan, Byzantine, medieval, Quattrocento, neoclassical, Rococo, all beautifully elided like layers of pastry in a papal cannoli. This is so good, I must eat the whole thing, said Napoleon. That is how law works, to bring appetite and things together. Napoleonic law, or natural law, or the law of the father, depending on the body of law you study in school. But back to Dante. Dying in exile in Ravenna in 1321, buried at the Chiesa di San Francesco, dug up in 1519, smuggled out through a hole in the wall by the faithful Franciscans in the struggle with Florence, that faithless mother. Hidden a while in the windy plains near Ferrara, then shut up at last in a wooden box in 1677 by Padre Antonio Santi. So many hells of sanctuary had Dante. He was as hunted as a saint. Would they never stop? It was quiet again all through the 18th century. But then, Napoleon, a little man in tall boots, an Arabiste of the worst kind, the kind that wants it all. Your dead, your living, your perversions, your convictions, your paintings, your poets, your prelates, and pretty girls, wanted Dante's body too, and would have had it, if not for the faithful Franciscans scuffling in the night, digging a pit in the soil of Braccio Forte, a pit of such excellent hermetic silence that even they forgot where they had put it. So it was that they lost his body, and so it was that Dante got free, and Dante slept for half a century, his lost body traversing the underground source of the lyric phrase of the wind as it traveled across him in the tall grasses of Braccio Forte.